The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. I got into the tail end of that. I heard you were saying unconscious bias. I'm assuming you mean against Cape Town. I don't know. This week, I don't know.
Well, listen, you know what's really interesting today is it didn't start off being the most newsy day in the world, and then things kind of changed, didn't they?
I tell you, you know, I always say that when it's a quiet news day, something is happening, and boy, we've had a very, very busy day.
So, Rolene, first thing I want to try and understand, is Bibi going to the UAE or not? Because there seems to be contradictory reports all over the place.
He, right now, as it currently stands, not going to the UAE for two reasons. First is that his wife, Sarah, is in hospital. She has an infection of the appendix. The other is because there is a diplomatic spat that is brewing between Israel and Jordan.
Tell me more about that. What's the cause of that?
I thought you were going to ask. So yesterday, Jordan's Crown Prince Hussein was due to arrive at the Temple Mount to visit Al-Aqsa Mosque. However, he arrived apparently with more bodyguards than were authorized, and the additional bodyguards were turned away because they weren't what was agreed to, and apparently he cancelled the visit and stormed off. Now, we wouldn't think that something like this could be leading to a diplomatic spat, but there is tension between Jordan and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Jordanians right now, the relationship is not as warm as it could be. And we see this evidenced by the fact that our defense minister, Benny Gantz, our foreign minister, Gabi Ashkenazi, they have been backwards and forwards to Jordan quite a few times in the last couple of weeks and have been received well. So it's very much a personality issue, it looks like. In fact, the defense minister has said, you know, that Israel is committed to agreements with the Jordanians and has great respect for the Jordanian government and King Abdullah. We must remember that Jordan's a monarchy. It's not a constitutional monarchy like maybe the United Kingdom is. And he says he accuses Netanyahu of heavily damaging the relations in recent years through his conduct. But he does not elaborate on that. And I think the lesson of the week is that if you are going to make statements about people's conduct, you better back it up with some facts and some context.
How does this get resolved, this issue? Where is this going? Is it going to get worse or is it going to be fixed?
Well, I think it depends on where we go with the elections. I think that maybe if we do have a change in leadership, there could be a change in attitude. There is a tension brewing between the two leaders that has been happening for quite a while. If there's not, and the Prime Minister remains our Prime Minister, something's going to have to give. So he's going to have to make some kind of gesture to mollify the Jordanians.
Let's move on to internal elections within Hamas. Interesting to know that they're actually holding elections.
They do have elections, and wouldn't you know it, they're by secret ballot, just say. But Yahya Sinwar has been re-elected the head of Hamas for a second term. This is following three secret runoff ballots. Apparently, they couldn't get a clear consensus, but he has been re-elected the head of Hamas.
What does that mean? I mean, who is opposing him? I'm just trying to understand the dynamics that were at play within Hamas. Was there a more liberal wing? Was there more of a Crump wing? Where did they stand?
Well, I love the way that you say liberal wing within Hamas.
I kind of realized as I said it. Oops.
His nearest challenge was from Nizar Awadallah, who's one of the founders of Hamas. Yes. he was defeated in the secret ballot. But Sinwa, we know, is a former member of the Izzaddin al-Qassam Brigade, which is the military wing. He spent over two decades in an Israeli prison. He was one of those that were let out with the prisoner swap for the freedom of Gilad Shalit, who was held captive by Hamas for 5 years. And wouldn't you know it, Awad Dalla was one of the negotiators on behalf of Hamas for this release.
All right, so we wait and we see. COVID, Israel, South Park, children, talk to us about all the issues as regards COVID in Israel right now.
Well, first of all, I have to make the big announcement that the IDF is the first military in the world and the largest organization in the world to achieve herd immunity. I almost said herd humanity, and not a Freudian slip. It's the truth. But to be at herd immunity, 81% of the IDF have had both vaccines. There have been no deaths that can be attributed to the COVID-19 pandemic. And there are at least 22 vaccination stations around the country being manned and womaned, because this is Women's Month, by soldiers in the IDF. And we're very, very proud. What an incredible achievement for the IDF to be the first military and the first major organization to receive herd. I almost said it again, Simon.
No,
humanity to receive herd or achieve herd immunity. But the real thing for me has to be South Park. I am so here for this episode of South Park that's all about the vaccine drive. And, you know, maybe the producers of Saturday Night Live and also nurses should be paying attention. But you have a Air Israel, which looks suspiciously like El Al, landing to vaccine everybody. And one of the characters trying to get into a restaurant, and the security they're saying you can't come in, and he says, you know, in Israel they vaccinate everybody. Israel is way cooler than this lame place, says one of the people in line. And the security guard says, then go to Israel. And the man says, I tried, but I couldn't get in. That's the first and last time you will ever hear my Cartman impression on my radio. But it's very cool. I mean, it's there's a guy that arrives in the Air Israel wearing a kippah. He's very cool. He's throwing out boxes of vaccines to everybody. Everybody's happy. There's Middle Eastern music. And I am really, really there for this. And even our ambassador to the United Nations, who's also our ambassador to the United States, Gilad Erdan, tweeted it out. He said, hey, NBC, this is how you do pandemic humor when it comes to Israel. Watch and learn.
And talking about COVID and pandemic, 600 kids have been vaccinated, no side effects.
Yes, very interesting statistic coming in from the health ministry. Also, Pfizer said about 2 hours ago that, you know, they've seen with regards to the Israeli data that's coming in that the shot is 97% effective against what they call symptomatic COVID. So a lot of good news to report, thankfully, this week. And, you know, just on the subject of COVID and data and samples, you know, I get so many WhatsApps from people asking me, is this true? Is this not true? Whatever. And I know that there is a WhatsApp going around saying, you know, that all countries are going to follow Israel and steal our data, and everybody's going to know, you know, what our medical history is. It doesn't work like that. You know, when they do data readings, they take samples of specific groups. Your individual details are not shared, are not given to people. So if you are receiving WhatsApps like that saying that all governments are going to steal all your data and share it, it's not true.
Ro, you alerted me very much early in the day to some developments between the Czech Republic and Israel. What is going on?
very, very, very happy to report that the Prime Minister of the Czech Republic is in Israel today. I'm not even going to attempt to try and pronounce his name without somebody from the Czech Republic helping me out on this one. Or maybe I should try. It's Prime Minister Andrej Babiš. He's in the country, and he inaugurated today the Czech Republic's diplomatic office in Jerusalem. And the Czech Republic is the second European Union member to open a diplomatic mission in the capital, in Jerusalem. And Ashkenazi, who's our foreign minister, he thanked him. He said, thank you for standing by Israel and for adopting IHRA, which is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism.
It's interesting to me that the Czech Republic, what was then also Czechoslovakia, has been so integral in Israeli history. I mean, I think they were the suppliers of the first planes to the nascent Israeli Air Force. And one wonders what it is about the Czechs that they were just so well disposed towards Israel for so long.
It's incredible. And if you actually have the privilege of visiting Prague, I have. It's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. There's a beautiful plaque in the Jewish quarter that speaks about this incredible relationship, this incredible friendship at the beginning of the formation of the State of Israel. And there have been tremendous, tremendous allies and supporters on every field, including in major international bodies as well.
Rolene Marks, you superstar, you took me to 5:30 on the nose. Couldn't ask for better. Shabbat shalom. And will not speak to you on Monday because you have a very important date, but you'll be back with us on Tuesday, also an important date.
Exactly, exactly. Of equal importance.
There you go. I'll let out the secret on Monday as to where you are. Rolene Marks, shalom, shalom. Thank you.